Welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow Podcast. This is our 17th episode of Season 2 for the episode Birds of Prey. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
I'm your other host, Amanda Konkin.
That was a pretty good episode.
There was a lot of women with masks kicking each other. It was interesting.
Really only the two, but that's okay.
Yeah,
there was a large quantity of those two.
So it was the first team episode, really. I'd been waiting. Roy, I'm glad that they at least had two lines in there where they're like, "You haven't done anything in a couple of weeks, Roy. You haven't done anything." So
It was a good acknowledgement.
There was a lot of acknowledging in this episode, I think, too, of certain things.
I think last week being a break from the regular storyline, they needed to bring things back in. And I mean, really, the week before being so heavy on just those characters that were present, right?
Yeah.
Like, because it took place kind of almost exclusively in the Queen Estate, right?
Right.
And then
right,
on the
right.
island, focusing
yeah.
on the island.
Yeah.
It almost feels like it's been, and there was a break in there, so it feels like it's been a little while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Since we really, knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So.
And since we've had sort of a, there's crime in the city, we need to go deal with it. I liked the police force out in full force this time. We haven't had a Detective Lance episode in a while.
Well, and special ops, right?
Yeah.
So, like, these were guys brought in specifically to deal with the
Huntress.
Yeah, and I think the masked menaces of Starling City. It was really interesting the direction that they took it, actually. Like, I thought that it was just, it was going to be the beginning of a storyline of, like, we have to hunt down all of these people with masks. But instead, it was really more so about just this one rogue kind of, like, driven dude.
Yeah. I thought he was going to become
really cool.
something, and
yeah.
it's just sort of...
I think he might end up recurring, because he's been on other stuff.
Yeah,
so
he's definitely
not a throwaway actor.
A known thing.
I'm trying to remember what he was on. Whatever it was, he was, like, always, like, super psyched and jazzed.
He plays, like...
I'm trying to remember what show it was from, but
constantly.
I can't remember.
I don't know. He always plays like the, I want to say like frat dude or whatever.
Kind of,
it is.
Yeah.
Like
that's what I'm thinking. He's like he was the type of character that was always just like, oh, awesome, and like grabbing characters by the shoulders, and explaining to them why he was excited about something. But anyways, you're looking it up.
While you do that,
I'm just going to give a really quick shout out. Jason Ritter emailed us in to ask that we let everybody know that he's starting a new podcast based on the upcoming Gotham TV show.
Nice.
His podcast is called James Gordon. The Gotham TV podcast.
Cool.
Sorry, Gotham TV show podcast. Mm-hmm. So Jason's one of our longtime listeners. Mm-hmm. So you can find him in the group. I'm sure that he'll post. I think he's already posted some links and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you can find that and check it out. And we wish him the best of luck with his podcast and with Gotham. Hopefully it's a good show.
Hopefully
it's
awesome.
Who knows?
It's
kind of. It could go either way. Like, so far, for me, it's looking really cool. I'm really liking the cast that they're putting together and the characters that they're choosing to pull from.
Mm-hmm.
I know that some people get a little bit uptight when you start touching characters' origin stories.
Right.
But, you know, Smallville was awesome for 10 years. Arrow's been awesome for 2.
Yeah, so hopefully.
Just kind of... forget about the comic books. Just let them tell whatever story they want to tell. And either it's good or it's not.
Yeah.
But at least let them get started before you start taking a negative approach towards it, you know? It might end up that Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne knowing each other when they were younger is the best thing they've ever done for the characters.
Yeah.
Who knows? And then, you know, undoubtedly... New 52 and Dan DiDio having absolutely no ideas for how to write comic books will tell Scott Snyder, who's a fantastic writer, to somehow shoehorn in all of this Gotham stuff. so that they can justify it on the TV show and have it sync up with their comics. You know, rather than just let either of those two things be good on their own. I saw a cover today for an upcoming issue of, like, some Batman event, crossover event that they're doing.
Okay.
And it's Batman fighting Batgirl.
What?
And it's like, when the New 52 started, the one of the biggest complaints was that all of the superheroes were fighting each other all the time. Like, the first year of Superman, Supergirl, and Superboy had the three of the characters adversarial. Like Supergirl and Superman couldn't be in the same room without throwing a punch. Like, Supergirl would attack him, thinking that he was a clone.
What?
Right? And Superboy at one point fights Supergirl, and Superboy at one point fights Superman, and Superman's fighting Supergirl. And, like, they're all just fighting each other all the time. And that was almost all of the comics, like, all of your mainstream known superheroes, your Justice League type characters, were all just beating the snot out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did this big villains event where they reintroduced a whole bunch of the villains. And now they're right back to having, I guess, all of the Batman characters fighting each other for some reason. Like, it's ironic. They call it the New 52, yet it seems like they keep recycling their own stories. I don't understand what's going on with DC.
Yeah.
But for those who are wondering, all new X-Men and Superior Spider-Man are what I'm reading right now. So if you want to read good comics,
that's jump over there.
I hear that Green Arrow is actually really good since they put together the new creative team. And I've read the first couple issues. I think it started around issue 17.
Mm-hmm.
And I just haven't gotten into it because there was a lot of backstory in these characters that I didn't know. Right. So I had to stop and look stuff up. So I haven't gotten back into it because I've been reading so many other things. But apparently Green Arrow is really good. And there might be a couple of other titles. People have been saying things because of our last tag, or the one before. I was talking a lot about Marvel Comics and reading that stuff. So
yeah.
So that's that. Did you find your the information?
The guy, So his name is Lachlan, and he has been in 127 movies.
Oh,
he's one of those guys that you just see everywhere, and it's. I mean, the things are, he was in A Night at the Roxbury, and he was also in I think, one of the Scream. Yeah, Scary Movie. So, like, that was, like, you know,
that's
the turn
what
of the century.
Is.
Yeah, the 2000s.
He was the jock dude in Scary Movie.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
But he just does insane things. He's one of those things, I want to see if there's a documentary on Netflix called That Guy That Was In That Thing. And it's just about those actors that exist in Hollywood where you just, you see them in everything, but yet nothing really...
Yeah,
that they're like stand out for. Anyways, he's going to be in Tomorrowland, which I'm actually excited to see.
I'm super excited for Tomorrowland.
Yeah, there's
George Clooney and Tom Hanks.
Oh,
like,
there's a bunch of genre stuff coming out that's actually original in the next little while, or at least not sequels or things like that. I think
I think one of our listeners posted something on his Facebook page.
And it was fabulous. Yeah. I read the whole thing and I said, you know what? It's actually great.
I think it might have been Ben.
Maybe.
I think it was Benjamin.
I don't know. It's someone that I haven't... Yeah, my Facebook that I just, like, saw the link.
Yeah.
And if people are interested...
Although Transcendence looks like crap. It looks terrible.
Transcendence, I'm not super excited about. I'm excited about the concept because I like the idea of, like, stuff that talks about the singularity. But, like, I don't know if they're going to deal with it properly.
No, they're not.
And then...
And it's not the singularity because it's a different thing. Like,
whatever.
It's a person uploading
their
mind.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a slightly different thing.
Becoming... Anyways. And Jupiter Ascending...
I think Avengers 2 Age of Ultron will deal with the singularity.
Jupiter Ascending, someone said something really, there was like a really interesting thing on it that was sort of like
terrible.
Funny. It was funny. It was
so
like,
bad.
It was, who is it? Channing Tatum has to save Mila Kunis from Mila Kunis or something like really bizarre.
They have pointy ears or something like that, and that's what makes them aliens. I don't even know.
But the thing is that, like, I'll probably watch it. I don't know.
Here's my problem with movies right now, especially with genre. Because we can do things, it means that we are doing them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Avatar made everybody go, like, oh, special effects have come so far. We can do all of these different things. And so now all of these movies have been greenlit. That, like, they wouldn't have in a million years been greenlit before.
Right.
But because they could be the next Avatar,
right?
You just know that some producer was sitting in a pitch meeting going, this is it. This is the next one. The world building and the characters and the design, this is going to be the next Avatar. And it's like, sorry, but Avatar wasn't the next Avatar. Who cares about Avatar now?
Yeah, no,
like,
nobody.
People cared for 15 minutes, yeah. And then it was
over. And you know who cared? My mom. Yeah. My mom cared about Avatar.
That's what happened, like, right? Is that like, Avatar was really cool for 5 seconds, and then everybody's mom went and saw it. And then we were all like, you know what? I think I'm good. I think I'm all right. The dragon thing was kind of cool, but
it's like an okay. I'm like not upset. I watched. No, Avatar. I love no. Avatar was really good, but it's not.
Yeah, I really
don't own
it
like on DVD.
No, I don't know anybody who does.
And it's one of those things. I'm like, if I want to watch it again, I'll like you know I'll rent it for a day.
They're like, there's new Avatar movies coming out. And they're filming them back to back.
What?
And they're building an Avatar theme park in Disney World.
What?
And it's
who's the audience for this?
I don't know.
What?
It's because there were like 12 dudes running around in the forest in Connecticut, whatever year it was that Avatar came out. I don't even remember at this point.
Interesting.
They were running around like goofballs in blue paint. And I mean, I don't want to judge, but let's be honest, I'm judging. They're, aww. You know.
If they're like trying to do cosplay though, I can't judge them because they're like.
No, this was like cosplay is cool. Cosplay, I'm good with, right? Like that's a really cool pastime. I appreciate it, especially people who are really good at it.
Yeah.
It's an art form when it's done well. That sort of thing. These were people who were like, I saw Avatar and there was just something clicked in my mind, and I realized. I've always been a Na'vi. I just didn't know it until now.
Are you being like?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not exaggerating. There was like a video.
Because it feels as though you're using a voice that really they should be taken into intensive care if that's like actually what they feel like.
Yeah. No. I remember seeing like it was
like
it was like on the news or it was on YouTube or something like that about these people who were like hardcore.
They thought they were Na'vi.
They just wanted to live like Na'vi. They feel like they were. It's like Star Trek fans who are like, I just connect with the Klingon culture.
Oh, okay.
And so, and
oh,
like.
Oh, that's.
No,
yeah,
but like they're something. Painting themselves up in blue stuff and living in the woods.
Okay.
Like.
Interesting.
Like.
I want to see.
You're taking it a step too far at that point, right? Like, it's cool. If you want to wear a Na'vi costume and go to Comic-Con, it's like, more power to you. But. If you want to paint yourself blue and
live
in the woods, you're a little bit...
You're also missing, like, the...
You're a little special.
I mean, I don't know why you need to paint yourself blue to live in the woods. Can't you just go live in the woods?
No, this is the thing. This is the thing.
Anyways,
we're so far...
tangented, but, sorry about that, guys.
Tangented. Just tangented.
Tangented. For someone who, like, talks every week... for a significant amount of time and records herself speaking, I don't have the best pronunciation of certain things.
What is it? What's your job again?
Yeah, I do teach speech arts and drama.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when I need to actually teach it, I talk quite well. And I can articulate myself appropriately.
It's just when there's a few thousand people listening to you talk about Green Arrow, they say, whatever.
Well, this is me, though, guys. This is just me.
Unfiltered.
It is. Actually, my main job as a teacher is telling kids that they can't use YOLO and swag in everyday conversation. Legit, no joke, that is at least each class. I have to tell them once that they're not allowed to use the word swag in class.
Who are you to make that kind of a judgment?
I'm sorry.
On language.
It's a speech arts and drama class. It is my job to tell them not to use the word YOLO in their formal speech presentation.
I have you recorded and it was released to the public. Defending people's right to incorrectly use the word literally.
That is true.
So.
But that had to do with language building. Oh my gosh. We are so tangenting.
I'm going
to
read this email and bring us back. So we got an email from Jonathan's. Jonathan, do me a favor. The next time you write an email, because I know you're going to write another email at some point, because you've written into it several times, please let me know how to properly, like phonetically pronounce your last name. Because it's spelled S-P-I-E-S-S.
Oh.
So I think that's like Spies or something like that. Like, because that to me looks like it might be like German or European in some way. So I'm going to say Spies. Maybe it's Spies. Maybe it's Spies. Maybe it's Spies. I don't know. Like, let us know how we're supposed to pronounce your last name.
By the way, is anybody else really excited about the way that this podcast is going? Because I am. I'm really excited about today's podcast. Just gonna say.
We're just, like, way off.
It's so good, though. So good.
And Jonathan says, howdy. I really liked this episode. Helena was much better this time. Laurel was awesome. Oliver admitted he was a killer and a bad mentor, etc. I was mostly impressed with how they streamlined the side plots. Roy did a nice reverse True Detective breakup. Keep up the good work. That's from Jonathan. We can't get into True Detective because, A, anybody out there who hasn't watched True Detective, I do not want to spoil anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to elaborate at all on that point. Okay. But if you... Oh, what is True Detective like
I can tell you? Yeah, what is True Detective? Because you keep saying that I just wouldn't like it, but you haven't actually told me
what
it is.
I'm not saying you wouldn't like it. I'm just saying that I know you wouldn't get into it. Okay. Like, I know you... There are roadblocks between you and watching a full episode of True Detective. It is not... It's not accessible TV.
You know what? My dad once told me that I couldn't order a McChicken because my not eating beef was just a phase, and it's been, like... 16 years, so I'm just gonna watch it to prove you wrong.
Okay, go for it. Watch True Detective.
But
it's like, so hard to sell it without giving away some of the stuff that makes it really cool.
Is it like a crime drama?
Yes. It's
Which it's channel is it on?
HBO.
Okay, so it's an HBO crime drama.
No. So it's a satire of true crime type television shows. Huh. So it's not a satire in a humorous way. It's really difficult to explain because it holds to the conventions of what you would consider. A lot of people miscategorize it as noir, but it's not noir because it doesn't have a narrative.
Noir is stylized.
Like it's not. Yeah, it's not narrated. It's not black and white, right. Which isn't necessarily a defining quality of noir. Neither is the narration, but it's narrated to a certain degree.
So what you're saying is that possibly it could be...
It's not noir, though, because people try and classify it as neo-noir, but it's not, because it's really... noir is very stylized, right? Cool. Like, that's sort of its thing. True Detective isn't stylized, it's just very stylish.
Do you think the
people
that
it's just got great cinematography.
Arrow will like True Detective?
I think that a certain segment of Arrow watchers will love True Detective. And I know that because I'm within that segment. Right. And I know about four or five other people of our listeners that are in that segment as well. Yeah. It's so hard to explain without giving stuff away.
All right.
There's a really cool twist to it that genre fans will enjoy.
Oh, okay.
That's good. It's not clear... just how much of a genre twist there is to it, but season 2 will apparently elaborate on the genre aspect. So it starts off sort of feeling like it's like The Killing, like where it's a procedural, but a procedural that's going to take place over the course of an entire season.
Okay.
So rather than it being like that one episode, like we're going to solve the crime in 15 minutes in a completely unrealistic way using image enhancement that doesn't exist, which, to be fair, exists on Arrow.
I really like it when sometimes they do that and they're like, I can't zoom it in anymore. This is as far as it zooms in.
Instead, what True Detective does is it brings that true crime element into it where you're dealing with... they're bound by the constraints of reality.
Right.
But there's something kind of weird going on at the same time. So,
and who's in it?
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, okay, that's what
and
I
saw. Matthew McConaughey.
I keep seeing those photos.
And
like,
Michelle
Monaghan, they're great.
Alexandra Daddario.
And is it just like, so it's HBO, so it's only like 10 episodes in the first season or something?
It's 8 episodes in the first season.
Okay.
And really, it's like there's 5 episodes, and then those last 3 episodes are just a movie because you're not going to stop watching.
Okay.
Like, by the time you hit the threshold in the 5th episode...
You just keep going.
You're going to make sure that you have time blocked out to finish the rest of the series.
All right. Well, I have HBO. Maybe I'll check that out. Let's talk about that email again. Look at this.
Well, I mean, it's really just that it was a good episode.
But no, specifically...
Helena was much better.
Helena. Yeah. We talked about this last episode, or I don't know if it was on record, but like when we were talking about the idea that Floyd became better after a certain amount of episodes, right? There was like four or something. That this too, I think that we really need to see the progression of Helena's character.
Oh no, see, I don't think Helena being better in this episode had anything to do with her.
Okay.
I think it had everything to do with the situation.
Okay.
She was a tool for this episode. And obviously there was a an element of closure for her, right?
Yeah.
They kind of, they've dealt with part of her character.
Yeah.
So that when she comes back, I think they can start to redeem her.
Yeah.
But as of this episode, she was really just a cog in their storytelling. So it was really more so about Laurel and Sarah.
Yeah, actually, and Laurel was, I really enjoyed Laurel in this episode. Mm-hmm. I think they used her quite well. I'm very excited too.
Yeah. Her comment at the end kind of throws me a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't really like it.
Because
I was like, what darkness?
Yeah.
Like, really, what darkness did you let in? You got depressed. And,
well, that's a certain
like, she,
darkness.
Yeah, it's a certain kind of darkness, but it's not the kind of darkness that Helena was talking about. Like,
right.
Like, Helena was talking about the kind of darkness where you kill people.
Right, yeah.
And Laurel's talking about the kind of darkness where you're, you know, sad.
She's just,
and
the thing is, she's just, like, gonna be a different person now. I think so. It's, like, the shift in who she was and who she has the potential to be, because Laurel wouldn't have bribed people before, and I think, or blackmailed, right?
Yeah.
So, maybe we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And I do, like, I say that, but I do like where they took the character.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I do like that she did that at the end. I really, really like that, and that they've brought strength back to her character after breaking her down, which is really cool, and justifies everything that they've done, right?
Yeah.
It's a little quick for me. Like, her phoenix rising from the ashes is a little bit too instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's just a byproduct of having too many other things to deal with
right
now. So they don't really have time to build this up.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they're putting pieces on the chessboard in order to prepare for something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So... Obviously, Suicide Squad last week, as we were corrected in our way of thinking by many of our listeners, it's been mentioned that Suicide Squad has come into this now because they're going to play an important part towards the end of the season.
Okay.
So, now, that said, to defend our stance...
We were corrected by a lot of people. I didn't
know that. Yeah, that changes nothing about what we had to say about Suicide Squad being really out of place at that point in the season.
Yeah.
They, like, just because they're going to come back later on doesn't mean that they couldn't have placed them earlier in the season before all of this stuff with Slade started to ramp up.
Yeah.
I just feel like the threat of Slade was in the background for so long, and they had that awesome reveal before the holiday break of, I think it was before the holidays, of him being behind everything with Sebastian Blood.
Right.
And then we came back and it was like, and then, you know, a couple weeks ago, he just comes out and reveals himself to everybody. It's like, whoa. I thought he was going to pull the strings from behind the scenes,
well,
right?
You know what? They might have just, like, switched halfway through the season, because I really thought genuinely that Sebastian Blood plot was going to go all the way through the season.
Yeah.
Because
now,
like, where is he? He's just completely gone? Or is he still running for mayor? Or where's Moira? Or, like, what is all this stuff that's happening?
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see, and hopefully that'll be useful, and I'm excited to see Suicide Squad.
Like, I have faith, just like we did with Laurel and with what they were doing with her character. I have faith that everything that they've done so far, they've done for a reason, or they've done because they've had to.
Yeah.
That said, I do feel like Suicide Squad is a story that could have come before the Christmas break, and it probably would have been received a little bit better.
Yeah, the thing is, I think it would have worked, like, that particular plot.
Like, right, had it come right on the heels of the Shrapnel story, which I don't remember when that was, if it was before Christmas break or right after. I think it might have been right after.
Hmm.
But... It should have come before the reveal, before Slade revealed himself.
Yeah, in the Martin
That's really, thing. Like, it's really, flip those episodes, and I think we would have been okay with it. This episode, though, I think we were anticipating it being out of place,
but it wasn't. It needed to bring everybody together, and
because
really
we had the island, I think that was the biggest thing last week, is that if you're going to take us away from the island...
Yeah.
It better be for a really good reason for the story this time. And I think last season when they did it, it was focusing around Laurel.
Right,
And I think there was a bit of focus around Tommy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was setting up Tommy's relationship with Malcolm, mm-hmm. which was really important towards the end of the season, right? So, and it was part of the through line of that yeah. season. So we were getting information that we needed. I feel like with the Suicide Squad and with Diggle's story, with his backstory, we were getting information that we wanted to know for sure. And yeah. it's all useful and yeah. it's all great. And it was a great episode and great story.
Yeah.
But it wasn't necessary to further the plot line of what's yeah. going on.
Here's hoping that it comes back in later.
Yeah, let's we might be wrong. Yeah. We might yeah. be wrong. But
let's watch this episode.
Yes, let's. Yay. Okay, so we're hitting play right now.
Yay.
I'm just at the previously
Birds
on.
Birds of Prey. Which is a great, I don't know, I really like Birds of Prey. I was really excited to see them in it and that it was really featured around Huntress and Canary. And that it wasn't for no reason, right? They didn't sort of shove it in there. There was a genuine story. There was a reason for them to be fighting one another and to be together.
Yeah.
And I remember last week we were sort of like, why would she come back to Starling? How is that going to work? And then they set that up in a place that I didn't ever doubt her need to be there, which was good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, it felt very natural and organic. I mean, obviously there's an element of contrivance in anything.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, like, oh, it's really convenient that Frank Bertinelli came back and now this is when she tracks him down.
Yeah.
But there's also an aspect of it that she tracks him down because he gets caught.
Yeah.
Right? And it has something, it's something else entirely. Mm-hmm. Like, they're looking for this other guy, Mannheim?
I think that's something.
No, that name is familiar, so I don't know if that was a plot from season one. Mm-hmm. But I really like this. I really like that they're
watching him.
That the cops are essentially running a raid, but Oliver and Sarah are there specifically to keep an eye on Detective Lance.
I love that.
Who's awesome in this episode, that's by good. The way.
I love him. There has not been enough Detective Lance recently, so I really think they did a good job of bringing him back in a way that was important. And that was a cool.
That was an awesome hit. Yeah. I did not notice that time around. That dude literally flipped over.
She's using aerial like silks just to come down, which is
yeah. They do that on a regular basis because they have the one stunt person who that's what she had done Cirque du Soleil. So so they use that a lot. It's kind of become a signature for Black Canary though, I like. It's, cool. And I think we saw Nyssa do it as well.
Something like that, yeah.
Which I would go normal. I'd be like, oh, that's kind of lame that they're both doing it. But then like, she trained Sarah, so it makes sense. Awesome. Detective Lance got a shot, but he took it in the vest, so.
Oh, I was so worried. When that happened.
There's the Bola arrow. Good old Bola arrow.
I think did they use that twice in this episode? Or something? Anyways, and so this is
and it's Frank Bertinelli.
Mm-hmm. And and Sarah throwing the guy out out the roof.
Now, did you get that? That's awesome because that's Beresford.
Oh, nice.
Did you get the sense that he was saying Frank Bertinelli? And that, like, he almost was about to, like, do the "you failed this
city." I sort of,
but it was also a little bit of a surprise, right?
So
because he was like, "You're my daughter sent you to kill me," or whatever. Right? Like he thought that he was going to kill him.
So it was interesting.
I thought that was interesting, kind of an homage to themselves.
Yeah, I think he'd done that before, right? Yeah. So I kind of like this that she's getting reamed out for throwing the dude out the window by her dad, which is, I don't know, kind of cute and good. And then
I love how Oliver always has to kind of, like, stand over to the side kind of profile so that Detective Lance doesn't ever figure out who he is. I loved the moment later on, we'll talk about it when we get there with the phone call.
I paused the television. I watched it with my mom before I came here, and I was like, "Mom, you have to understand how cool this is."
Yeah, it was so good. It's such a good moment.
It was good.
But it was great because it's them bringing up our question.
Yeah, our question constantly, them addressing, right? Which is good. So this is, I think, one of the first times that all of them have been sort of bantery in the cave before.
It's the full team.
Because,
it's
like,
the full era.
Yeah, because usually they're dealing with Roy or they're dealing with... But they're all sort of together and figuring this out and being kind of bantery all together, which is nice. Which I really liked. I think it worked
out. And then we've got a cut to the Amazo, to the island, and Oliver, who is being tortured by Slade.
There's not much else to say about that.
No, he's very shirtless, and they're giving him a tattoo.
Yes, so cool.
Yeah.
I love how they keep revealing all these things, right? Because you were the one you pointed out a really long time ago about like Wyatt was there. We wanted to know how he got the tattoo, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's really, really cool. And so they're stranded on the ship because they can't go anywhere.
Yeah, and then he killed the engineer, we find out a little bit later. This was good because this was them addressing Laurel and her the alcohol issue. So
I think
it was very
great.
Cool.
She's going to 2 meetings a day.
Yeah.
Is basically what this is setting up. So that's very pertinent and important, and I think
it really establishes where she's at. She is having a hard time. She is struggling, and she needs these meetings in order to stay on the wagon.
Just to stay and be focused. And I really liked how they dealt with this episode. I think they're dealing with it in a
It was good because it brings up the fact that she's still not working. And so
when she gets the
gets this phone call, and when this too good to be true offer comes up, she doesn't see it for what it is.
Yeah,
which I think
I thought it was sort of. I'm like, are they shoehorning her back into the like?
Oh no!
Season?
He brings up the fact that she's going to be put on the Bertinelli case.
Right. Okay.
It's like, oh, they're setting her up, right?
Okay.
Like this is I didn't think that it went as far as it did, but I thought that it was like, oh, like Bertinelli is a risk,
right?
Yeah, like,
okay.
Like a lawyer is liable to wind up dead,
right?
Working
okay.
this case,
fair enough.
So let's not waste one of ours, sort of thing. Like I thought that this guy was kind of just being a jerk.
And
I didn't realize
that
he was using her as a tool.
Right. Interesting. I wasn't. I don't know. There's certain things you miss when you watch the first time, right?
Yeah.
And that was mine. Which is good. And they, Verdant, they used a lot of extras this week. They had Verdant open both times we were there, which I thought was really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Because usually it's just them walking around in the empty club. And how awesome is it that they're all meeting in the background there and you don't notice it until Roy goes over and you're like, hey, wait, they all moved upstairs instead of downstairs because Sarah's working at the bar, which makes sense that we have to go talk to Sarah, which is cool. I kind of like it. Oh, they're so, I don't know, it's like a nice little team. I really like it.
It is. They're Scoobies. It's the Buffy effect, right?
Yeah.
Like, they've put together this awesome team.
Yeah.
And
it just makes them all better.
It feels nicely weighted. It feels like you've got a good mix of different age groups.
It's a good
male,
group.
Female.
Older, older and younger, which is nice. And this was a cool diversion. It was sort of like, is she just like driving a random car? But then you remember that she's actually pretty smart and together. And this was the first thing that we were like, oh right, and where the first time you get the full force of the team effect, I think, as well, because there's nowhere for them to go. And then this was intense, where I don't know where the bullet went. Like, did it go through his hand completely?
It went through his hand,
and but what did it hit? I don't know.
Well,
anyways,
it kept going.
It seemed like it was in front of his face or whatever, but
no, it was off to the side.
Good.
There,
that's good. Anyways, I always forget about Roy. I like that they keep reminding us how powerful Roy is.
Yeah.
And this, when I was first watching it going, I went, Speedy? Did they just call him Speedy? What? I was like, nah, that they wouldn't have just thrown it away like that. And then, of course, they have the explain away in the next scene. But I don't know. I don't know what other people think of that Speedy moment.
I think mostly it was just a callback sort of thing, like a reference to the comics.
Okay.
They're
not going to call him Speedy. Is that sort of what they're saying now? They're just definitely
Mark Guggenheim has pretty much confirmed that he's going to be Arsenal.
Right, okay, good.
And in a conversation where he says that they're going to call him, that they're that they throw around the name Speedy a few times.
Right.
But that's not
what he, yeah,
but eventually they'll land on his name, which will probably be Arsenal.
Which is good. If so, I'm remembering, but we're setting up this idea that he is going to have a nickname soon.
Yeah.
Which is good. And I like that. Lots of commercials.
Hopefully by the end of the season.
Which would be
sorry, we've just been fast forwarding through the commercials.
And we're back. Talking about this is a great the way Felicity's talking about this 22-year-old frat boy. I really kinda like it. her burn on Ollie here, which is great. they just have a great dynamic.
Yeah, it was good.
Kind of interesting.
Even though Felicity isn't heavily featured in this episode, she gets her quips in. She gets a couple.
It's nice. It's good. I think, and I didn't feel it as though she was overlooked or anything, but her and Diggle have their moments, right? Which is nice. And then you get Roy healing uber fast. And then we get into the CW drama-esque part of the show.
But, like always, dealing with the emotional stuff.
Yeah.
Not just dropping bombs and then walking away.
You know what I love the most about the show, I think? Thea. Thea deals with things in such a way that just makes her so strong and interesting. Even though she's only in, I guess, 3 scenes in here and it's facilitating other characters, she deals with things in such a real way that I just absolutely genuinely love her as a character. And I remember being really unsure about her in the first season, and she's come around in a way that's just great. So this idea that Ollie is telling Roy here that to stay away from his sister, basically. And what I really like about this conversation is that it's not a threatening, it's them having a conversation, and Roy...
They talk about it.
Right? They talk about it, and Roy going, I'm not... What are you talking about? But this idea that Ollie's like, no, you are going to, because I know you love her. And that's, I think, what I really like from this conversation.
Which, like, this is him... It's interesting, because we're playing these two characters off of each other as foils with Roy and Huntress.
Mm-hmm.
Oliver is the mentor for both of them,
right?
And obviously he failed with the Huntress, but he takes that on as his responsibility. But I don't think that he should. But with Roy, we see it working, right?
That
he does distance himself from Thea.
Yeah. Which is, I don't know, I found that a fascinating part of the season. Because it didn't go in the way, I mean, they just always are, they always, I don't know, convince me that this show is so genuinely rooted when they deal with Thea and Roy's scenes that I think could be quite, I guess, vapid, maybe. And they deal with it with integrity, which I really enjoy. And then this is the first scene, Laurel and Sarah, where you really get that this is a Laurel-Sarah episode in terms of their dynamics and how they are as sisters and as characters, and I really like it that you find out different things about each of them in their dynamics, so it's good.
And we've gotten past the two of them, well, at least Laurel being upset with Sarah and all of that, like, so now we can see them as sisters, right?
Rather than
fighting all the time, so it's good that we've moved past that, but there's still a few issues.
I think they deal with it in an interesting way, right?
Yeah.
They had before. And so this is our... So this is now them on the island back at the bunker or whatever, right?
Yeah, so it took me a second to remember that this had all happened.
Right, because that they separated.
I definitely remembered that Oliver was on the boat and that Slade had him.
Right, but these
other characters, it was like, oh yeah, that's right, Sarah escaped with, like, all of those prisoners.
Right.
And then we find out why. We find out why some of these prisoners are there.
Still there,
and they're all plot devices.
Yeah,
they're all MacGuffins.
Yeah,
every last one of them.
But it's good in a good way. I don't know. I think they're. It was interesting because it gives you. This was one of the first episodes where there was parallels. I know that they used to do that all the time, where they would have the island mirror what was happening in the real life or in the, I guess, current timeline.
Yeah.
And this was one of those first times that they'd done that, and it was with Laurel. Or Sarah, in an interesting way. I think they've done that one time before. And I really like that.
Because they're setting up that... who is it? Hendrix, or Hendrik, is able to repair the ship, and they need an engineer to repair the ship, and so they're setting up an exchange. Now, I don't trust Slade.
Yeah, well,
once he gets what he wants, he's not likely to comply and give Oliver over. But who knows? I mean, maybe he's going to put a larger plan into motion. Yeah. But we know that by the end of this season, Oliver will have, I'm using my quote fingers, killed Slade on the island. So, or at least he'll think that he did.
Yeah. I really like that Felicity and Diggle are passengers in this scene, but it's actually affecting them. They keep cutting to a... Sorry, this is Sarah. When Sarah and Ollie are yelling at each other about what they're going to do about Laurel being in danger and how Ollie doesn't want to kill the Huntress and all this stuff. I find this a really interesting dynamic that they're setting up. I mean, Ollie and Sarah don't really fight that often, so it's really interesting that they're sort of going at it at each other about their beliefs and they both want to protect Laurel, but I guess I guess it's this that Sarah doesn't understand all of the stuff with Huntress and where that comes from, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. It's interesting. It leads to a lot of tension. That's dealt with in a good way. And this I didn't quite get. that they want. Diggle! Oh, that's so great.
That is
like,
a good
yeah, Diggle. you should kick her ass. It's good, good. Aw, oh, that's good.
And now we're getting this sort of setting up the courtroom scene that we think we're going to get. But
we are not.
But it's odd because they're bringing him in through the front. And it's obvious that something is off, and then here comes the gas grenade.
Yeah.
And Oliver being a hero.
Pushing your way down. And this, I just was not expecting it to be a full-fledged... I don't know, it's very... It's
you
very
never smart. Watched the preview clips.
I don't.
So this was the preview clip, so you should have seen this coming, because it was the preview clip.
I like to be surprised. I watched the next week on, or whatever, right? This is the first thing where you're kind of like, she's not actually going to kill him. I guess that's the big thing, right? That she doesn't... Because she could have just shot him many, many, many times, right? So it's the whole thing that she wants to kill him, but also, I mean, he's her dad.
I think the thing is that she wants him to beg for mercy sort of thing, right?
Right.
Like, this is a revenge thing. So it's not as simple as just, oh, I killed him, and then it's done.
Right,
like, she wants him to know that it was her,
and
to apologize for what he did. And, like,
like,
she's looking for all of these different pieces of emotional closure.
Right.
Which is why later on in the episode, when he does die, she breaks down, right? Because she realizes she's never going to get
all that other stuff
that she needs.
Yeah.
So there we go. Get Laurel out, but not really.
But not really.
And
sort
then,
of. And then I don't know where he went.
Over the chair.
Oh, right. Being
and he gets Frank out of there.
Right. Which is good. He got that jump down really well, actually. Way to go, Stephen.
Oh, he looked totally hardcore.
Yeah, that's good.
But we've seen him do more intense things. I mean, he's doing parkour on the tops of buildings.
Oh, and here's Lachlan Monroe. And when you see a character like this, you know that they're going to be somewhat important.
Yeah.
Because they're casting an actor.
It's one of the reasons I felt like they were setting up like a task force or
something.
Looking at their shoulder patches to be like, are they some sort
what are
of...
They? Yeah.
Some sort of special team being brought in to deal with
the vigilantes.
With superheroes, with vigilantes and stuff. But
which would be interesting.
Just special ops.
But
this guy has got a specific vendetta.
Which they don't really explain.
No, they don't explain it at all, which I kind of like. It's refreshing to not have to deal with, like, when I was a child, there was a guy in a mask, and he did a thing, and now I hate all people with masks.
I have not heard of that.
Sometimes it's just a really overzealous cop. Like, sometimes that's all it is.
Yeah. Which is going to be interesting. There was the... Was that a preview for a show called Salem? Is that a new show? It's kind
of... I don't know.
Okay. Interesting.
There's but I don't know if it's a show or if it's a movie.
Or whatever it is.
There's a commercial for The 100.
The 100, not
the 100. CW would like you to really, really be sure that you're saying it right.
No, we're back.
It doesn't really matter. It's going to get canceled.
I don't know why they're pushing it so much. I don't know. If someone's actually enjoying
they
it.
Have to.
I know.
They spent a lot of money.
Yeah, I guess so. I spent. It, they put it on Netflix.
Is your favorite recurring character on the show?
It is
the news reporter.
The news reporter is back. I like it. I like.
We should really learn that actor's name.
We really should,
so that we can be like, oh, there he is. Right. And we should get him on the podcast.
Oh,
that would be a great interview.
That'd be great. Yeah. And then he does interviewing on the show.
Yeah. Very meta of you.
Yes.
But here, Detective Lance is going off half-cocked and punching DAs in the face.
Yeah,
because
they're being silly, and they made
well, they played mistakes. They played Laurel, right?
Yeah.
Like, they used
basically,
her.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, Paul Blackthorne's so good. He's so upset.
It's interesting, because, like, they do really, like... So they think of Laurel as expendable. That mm-hmm. was the approach here. It's like,
basically.
Oh, just bring Laurel in. We're just going to fire
best
afterwards.
Part of the episode.
It's so good. His
best
phone
part,
rings.
His phone ringing. And I didn't get the full implication until, like, it's so brilliant. I just had to stop watching it for a second.
The fact that he thought ahead
and like
and he's
programmed,
got it programmed
in
so
as
that
his
he
mom.
Can, yeah.
It just is brilliant. I love it. And this little quip. Felicity got a lot of quips in this week, right? This idea.
I love her realization there. That's
it's
such
getting
a great
really
surprise.
Hard to keep track of who knows whose secret identity. Yeah. I just love that. It's so cute. Does she ever work? Like, do they ever actually work? Is it just,
well, she's his assistant, right? That's
yeah.
why they changed her job.
I guess. Yeah.
So that it was logical
him.
Why
yeah.
he's just all why she's just always with him all
right,
the time.
Right. Yeah. Fair enough. It makes sense. I like that Felicity felt really bad. She's like, "Oh, Sarah's not here." I always forget that Laurel can kind of hold her own, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. That guy took an elbow to the face and just kept coming. So
yeah.
I'm gonna say that's a little bit. I don't know. I'm gonna give Laurel the benefit of the doubt on that.
Yeah.
I think that she should have taken that guy out herself.
Yeah.
But we had to have a reason for Sarah to
yeah,
come in.
Yeah, which is good. And you can see the voice changer. Is this the first time she's used the voice changer?
I think so.
Because it was kind of cool. Oh, so again, I watched it with my mom. My mom was like, "Why are they talking like that?" I was like, "It's a secret identity, Mom. God."
And here's Roy losing control.
Yeah.
This episode is moving very quickly.
It is.
Kind of a breakneck pace.
Which is where you get the first... I swear that was the guy he just, like...
It doesn't matter who the guy is that he hurt the shoulder
of.
That's now gone. So this is him realizing that he is dangerous, that
yeah.
he doesn't have it under
was
control.
So
I love that he just brashly walks up and goes, "So we're breaking up." And she's like, "No." Like, rather than be your regular CW show where yeah. Matt Lanter walked up to one of those girls that he dated on 90210.
Right, they'd be like, "Oh, why?"
Yeah, it would be like a 15-minute scene set to some...
Yeah.
I don't know, One Republic.
As
everybody
but
gets
here,
really upset.
I just love it where she's like, no.
She's like, that's, no, I'm not.
Sorry, we'll talk about this later.
Yeah.
But it's so good because she's just so smart and she just gets it. I really, really.
Well, she just doesn't let him
yeah.
dictate that,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
And
that she knows him well enough.
Is
this thing that always gets me where
it's
I'm like, if you've been dating someone for 3 months and they all of a sudden just break up with you,
yeah.
it's like, you
because
need to know them.
Because
like,
they're evil half-brother has shown up and is coercing them with... Yeah, which is what would happen on a show like 90210 or The Vampire Diaries or...
all those things.
Yeah,
I love
show.
How there's just alcohol sitting in this office, which is...
Like, I thought, like, she was grabbing it and it was going to be, like, a twist where she's like, "Perfect." She, like, makes a Molotov cocktail
yeah,
and throws
like,
it
yeah.
But it's like, no, she's like, "No, perfect. I'm going to drink this."
yeah.
I was like, "Oh, Laurel, come on. Get
yeah.
it together."
Yeah. But then it leads to...
It leads to a good scene.
It's the CW-iest scene of the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in a way that it didn't annoy me too much. I feel like it could have really annoyed me.
And I feel like it could be legitimate. I don't know. I don't have an addiction issue, so
right.
I don't know if it's that powerful or
right.
if it's like she's in that situation and she's like, "Good, I'm gonna drink now."
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how realistic
yeah.
that is, but
yeah.
it seemed a little quick.
It's yeah, where the way she was dealing with it was alcohol.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's the thing that we are supposed to know is that the way that she's dealing with stuff is she's really still dealing with stuff and she's not dealing with it well. So.
Mm-hmm.
This is,
I don't know. Well, it brings it back to earlier when she said it's her second meeting because
right.
she can't deal with the real world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the only place that she feels safe is at that meeting.
Yeah.
But then Sarah, quick thinking, calls out the chip on her keys.
Yeah.
I don't know why her... Oh, did she, like, open
the
bottle?
She opened the door. No, she opened the door with the keys.
Oh,
and okay. I wondered why they made a big deal of that, because I thought it was going to be that she couldn't open the door. And I just realized that that's why the insert was there. That I was like, why are they taking an insert of her keys? That's so crazy.
Very clever.
Uh-huh. So this is great that Laurel knows that it's, I guess, Arrow on the other end, and it's just not leaving, and I kind of like that Sarah and Ollie have this conversation.
At what point, like, honestly, you don't recognize your sister.
I know,
but whatever.
Yeah.
Like, aside from that,
yeah,
put it together. Put it together, right? Like, you gotta sort this out at some point.
I am really upset. I'm just hoping that we are just, like, privy to a lot of information that makes it impossible to not think that these guys are who they are. But, I mean, I feel if Laurel and Detective Lance can't figure out who they are, that maybe there is something to do with the secret identity and that they're doing it okay. But, like, I just think it's absurd that Detective Lance doesn't know.
I think it's like, just, like, it is just a conceit of the genre.
Yeah, it's a conceit. Yeah, you're right.
A mask,
a conceit of the genre.
And
the voice.
Fancy outfit and a voice changer.
Yeah.
Makes it unbelievable.
Yeah.
But,
you know what? The thing is, you can be someone different. I rewatched The Matrix last night. So good.
Sorry, I'm just a little mesmerized by Oliver in the background. There.
He's very shirtless.
He's shirtless and has no scars.
Right.
So it's much more just see his muscles.
Interesting. How am I the one talking about The Matrix and you're the one talking about Oliver? Naked.
I don't know. He's a very...
he is.
Because I'm fascinated with the muscles because I don't have any of those muscles.
It's good. It's interesting.
It's aspirational.
It is. I never really thought about that before, that he doesn't have all the scars. That's good.
It brought it into my mind because of the tattoo.
Right. That they are putting the first couple marks on him, right?
Yeah. So he's got the arrow wound in his chest.
Yeah.
I think he's got a bullet wound in his side on the other side.
Yeah.
And he'll get the tattoo by the end of this episode.
Yeah.
But he's got a lot more scars and tattoos.
Yeah. To come.
In present day.
Oh, anyways, what I was saying about The Matrix is that you can tell when it's a stunt double and when it's not. Because people's body movements have a lot to do with what they're perceived as. So if when they're vigilantes, they're actually doing a really good job of carrying themselves differently. I feel as though that would be somewhat believable, which is just where that was going. So here we have Huntress actually going to shoot some random bystander. And then we have the Canary Sonic whirring as per the, what are those subtitles telling me that it's Sonic whirring? It's good that they... I wonder who's in charge of doing the subtitle things. Because sonic whirring is different than loud beeping noise. Which, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sonic is like a very particular choice of words.
I would think that it comes from... that it comes from the show.
Yeah. And she's called Canary. It said, Canary, behind you. That's what she was saying. Mm-hmm. Which is good. And that was such a burn moment. Ollie does like to dress up as girls. I thought that was kind of...
Yeah, I like that. It's a... Because it's a very... It's a nice... Double entendre moment there.
Yeah.
And
the part where she's falling off.
So
she has
the silks.
Oh,
that's why they're always
interesting.
There.
Interesting.
It's not a convenience thing. Like
she just
they're like Spider-Man.
Oh,
sort
how
of
cool.
Deal.
That's really awesome.
It's
I didn't see that.
Thing.
I sort of was like, where did this piece of string come from?
I think it's like it's a ninja thing, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's supposed
so cool.
to be a ninja thing.
Oh, how cool. They did a good job. So that's exciting. I kind of like the Laurel Helena moments in this episode as well. Because I forget that they were...
That there was some tension there.
Yeah, and
well,
because
Oliver dated her for two episodes, right?
Yeah.
So, and it was while the trauma issues were going on.
Yeah, because they went out for dinner with Tommy and Laurel, right? Which is interesting. I like that shot of whatever the tower is downtown.
I can never remember the name of that.
Neither can I.
I always want to say CN Tower. But
so do I, and that's Toronto's. And it's like, you know what? It's the Pacific Center thing that has a restaurant that spins around.
It's not Pacific Center. It's a different a different shopping center.
Yes.
Harbor Center.
Because it's close to the harbor. Booyah.
I don't know if that's a booyah moment. I think you need to retract that booyah
Fine.
Formally.
Whatever.
And we're back from commercial. And
now.
Now.
They're on the verdant sign turning off because they're closed for the day. And Fia is going to go get more vodka. And I don't know who she's talking to. Oh, right. I guess she's talking to Roy and the unnamed waitress woman that had a little cameo one line earlier so that this meeting would have more weight, that she was also employed there. And here we have Roy making out with somebody in a closet.
Do you think now, in the moments before, that they were just, like, standing there, and he heard her coming up there and was like, okay, kiss me.
Yeah.
Or do you think that he was really selling it by, like, making out with her for the last 20 minutes? Like, dang it, Thea, when are you going to come upstairs and get more vodka? Like, there was vodka, but he, like, grabbed it and took it upstairs. Yeah. Like, he set the whole thing up off screen.
There you go.
I'm sure that there's a comic book tie-in to clear all of this up.
Yes.
If there's not,
how
there
she... Yeah, that's
you hear that, DC? You can hire me anytime. I'm glad to write these comics.
It's riveting storytelling, there. The case of the vodka caper. I don't know.
The case of the vodka caper.
The vodka caper case.
Slightly redundant, but that's okay. Caper case. Kind of meaning the same
thing. It's a case of vodka. What if it's a case of vodka, then?
Now you're just backtracking.
I am. So I didn't know Detective Lance is sort of going around the law here with Bertinelli and gonna understands what the vigilantes
are
doing.
Well, he's working with them. Basically, I mean, since he got demoted, he's kind of like, you know what? I don't even care anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of really interesting.
I think he just realizes that
they're doing stuff that's
the cops
work.
in Starling City. Yeah. Are a little bit myopic, and so in order to really save the city, he's got to work with Arrow and obviously his daughter being one of the vigilantes, I think helps.
Yeah, this was a good moment. This idea about Tommy, did Tommy dump you? I don't know. I really like this moment between the two of them. I think it's really well done, in terms of how they both deal with things. And you get this interesting... I don't know, Helena comes in as a foil for a whole bunch of people in this episode.
Yeah.
In how people deal with things and enlightens everybody, I think. It was it's a really good point, poignant episode, I think, for at this time in the season.
We deal with a lot of characters and a lot of the situation. And you're right, it's very much a Sarah and Laurel episode.
Mm-hmm.
So we use them sort of as these... counterpoints in the episode,
which is good.
And I think like Sarah is ready to go in there and just kind of deal with Helena, but Laurel takes this other approach,
which is interesting. I like it. And that's the first time we get this idea that vigilantes, if they are wearing a mask, they get a bullet, and they're coming in on this raid. And Helena, pretty sneaky here, has traded outfits with the random hostage person that she was talking to earlier with the wedding ring, right?
And somehow gotten into a police officer.
Yeah, I don't really know how that happened.
I'm gonna assume that one of the cops that got killed at the beginning she had this prepared.
Oh, maybe. Who knows?
As one of her backup plans, as she said earlier in the episode, you got to be prepared.
We're
gonna fast forward through this Transcendence trailer because it looks like a terrible movie full of a lot of great actors.
I almost don't want to fast forward through this Gary Oldman commercial.
Yeah, the HTC one.
Because I'm like, Gary Oldman, you can talk to me about whatever you like.
Yeah, that's true.
While. But,
see, now you say that about Gary Oldman, but you don't like Christopher Walken.
They are completely different actors.
No, they're both character actors.
They are completely different actors.
Sure, like they both have a very similar character actor aspect to them.
That's your opinion.
I think they've both played like the same sort of like varied, interesting characters over the course of their career.
I will talk about Christopher Walken another day.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
Now we're back at the episode with the
fact that you don't like Christopher Walken. Sort of cements the idea that I don't think you'd get into True Blood. True Detective. True Blood. No. No one should.
I have
be
watched
that.
True Blood.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. The fact that you've watched True Blood means that.
I stopped at the first season.
So they've got Frank Bertinelli, and they're gonna make the deal essentially, like, or at least they're going to let Helena.
And that was the nice tie-in here, where Laurel was talking, or where Sarah was talking about the things that you do for people that you love, or when you make choices, which I thought was really interesting. Where's the mouse guy? I'm really sad he's not here.
Yeah, he's not there. He made it, but he's just not in this episode.
Oh, so sad. Maybe he was just like a random one-off.
But Anatoly working with Sarah to distract him so that they can make the switch.
It's good. Gail Street and Simone. Did you see that?
Nice
shout out to Gail Simone. Yay! It's just the way that they spelt it too. That was nice. It's exciting. I like
catch that the first time
with the subtitles. You can see all the different things that happen. This kind of looks like a set, hey? Are they using is this the back lot?
They're just back at Beresford.
They just keep going back and forth. They're using it well. I mean, they're making it look pretty varied, which is kind of nice. So this is a nice sort of father-daughter moment, I guess. The thing is, I've never really gotten the stakes with Bertinelli because I don't really know how much of a bad guy he is.
This is interesting because I don't know if this is sincere or if he's just trying to get out of it, because at this point he's like, the Basically, heroes are giving me up.
There's nothing else happening to me, basically. And Ollie trying to talk her down, and she thinking she's already gone. So this is her rock bottom or whatever, right? So when she does come back, or if she does come back, right, that we'll get that. And saved by the man saying, "Damn vigilantes." Interesting. He doesn't get a name. He's called Man. Interesting.
I feel like he needed a name.
Indeed, he did need a name.
And I feel like he needed to be somebody that from the comics. Yeah. Right? Like, it needed to be a reference.
Yeah.
But
I don't understand how having so much cleavage is helping her costume serve any purpose.
Okay, so here's the deal. Batman wears the yellow bat logo, right? Yeah. Like, why wouldn't he just wear all black, right? But instead, that yellow logo gives the villains something to focus on. So they go for body shots. They shoot at the chest, which is where he's the most armored.
Yeah, but she is not armored.
She's not armored, but she is fighting mostly dudes. And so I think that there's an element that you could say that it's a
distraction. It's her bat signal. All right, sure.
So, like, it keeps bad guys off balance. They're not entirely focused on fighting her.
All right.
Because she looks like a girl, right? Okay. Like, and, like, so it's a hiding in plain sight sort of thing.
Maybe.
Like, if she plays up those feminine aspects.
Fair enough.
Is my justification for her having very intense cleavage.
Fair enough.
I think it just looks really good.
It's a cute outfit. I really like it.
It's also just like it's going with the classic, look of the character. Yeah, yeah. Right?
It's great. I like her. I love her outfit. And so we had Laurel saving Sarah from herself there, which is good. And then you've got the Helena moment, realizing that her father is dead. And this was, I don't know, you really got some dimension to her character in these last couple scenes, I think, which was kind of nice.
She got to do some good acting.
Some acting.
Right here, in these, like, last 5 seconds of her being on. Yeah.
Well, no, and the scene with Ollie, I think, was really good, too.
But there's some closure for her character now.
Fast-forwarding
through now a Rio 2 commercial. Man, there's a lot of commercials for bad movies. There was also a commercial for Captain America, so there's a commercial for a good movie.
Oh, Captain America looks so good.
Yes, it looks
so
incredible.
So excited. So many things. And we're back. All the handcuffs. This doesn't seem like a very practical way to handcuff somebody. I feel like you should. Don't they have to handcuff both their hands?
No, I think that's legit. I think that's
fair enough.
I don't know where she's gonna go. I mean, she's handcuffed and in a locker room.
True. Fair enough.
I hope they don't have another earthquake in Starling City, because I'm sure she'll escape.
Yes. But I really liked the scene. She was a real person for me for the first time. in all the times I've seen her, I think, in terms of me really liking her and liking the actress. Because I really don't think I liked... I didn't think she had much depth as a character the first couple times we saw her. And I think I blamed... I think her name's Jessica, right? I think I blamed her a little bit too much. And I like it. I don't know. I think she's doing a really good job in this episode. So I thought these were really nice.
Yeah, ones. She is. There is more here. And especially since we don't have to establish anything else this time. Yeah. I feel like when they brought her back last time, they brought her back just to bring her back.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And now that we have Sarah...
You
don't need to have Huntress showing up because we've got Sarah. So,
So she can show up and just be a conduit for other things and not be about her, right? Which I really liked. Yeah, when it's not about her and when she's just doing the other stuff, I think that that's really useful.
She was a very useful tool
in
this episode to tell this story, to get some of these things out. And it was nice to get some closer on it.
And then you feel next sad time for her.
Yeah.
Because you're like, she's alone. Aww.
And now, like, this is the beginning of a redemption for her, right?
Yeah,
so
she can go back up.
So she can stop being the vigilante sort of villain character that she was and start being an anti-hero like she is in the comics.
Yeah.
So.
Which is exciting.
And I think one of the reasons why they did this was to bring this back, finish that story off so that they can bring her back next
which
season.
Is great.
Alongside Black Canary and do some real Birds of Prey stuff.
Yeah. I liked that transition where Ollie's head, he put his head down, and then when they came to the island, he's bringing his head up. It was nice. Ugh, they never fail to do a really awesome job with that. And so we've got, it's Shadow's tattoo, yeah?
Yeah.
So now, this is his first tattoo, right? I think, because that's what we were saying, right?
I think so. I mean, this is the first one of the ones that are
prominent that we've seen. So we're still waiting for that. I always forget that we've got to build up all these things. It wasn't until you noticed him just hanging there and without scars that it really, it becomes clear that he really has a place to go. And so
and
they're tying
Hendrick.
Up Hendrick and they're going to take him to the island. And then we're going to wrap up all these ties here in Starling City, which I really like. I like that they brought this. Is she the head of the DA's office? Is that
this is a character that has actually been in the show before.
Which I really like that they're bringing, that they brought her back.
Yeah, so they brought her back.
I think her name is Kate Spader or something, or Kate something.
I like that, because they did have an adversarial relationship previously.
Mm-hmm,
so the fact that she's going like, I don't care.
Yeah,
like,
you don't have a job
I'm
back. Yeah.
Sorry about that, but you don't have a job.
Yeah.
And then Laurel showing a little bit of darkness here.
Yeah. I find it interesting that the press didn't already know that the district attorney was behind this a little bit.
Well, I think Detective Lance knows.
Right.
The cops that were in that room know.
But not
Oliver knows.
Yeah.
Laurel knows. But I think that's pretty much it.
Right. Which is good. This is interesting that she's now impressed her boss with her ability to blackmail. And so, this is the moment you were talking about, right? That she said, once you let the darkness inside, it never comes out. Which is, there's a certain solemnity to that statement, and it's somewhat ominous, I would say.
It's interesting, because it sort of says, where are they taking Laura, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember if somebody posted, I think somebody posted some fan art on the group of Sarah as Black Canary and then Laurel as White Canary.
Oh,
and like the idea that at some point they'll both be superheroes and they'll be like this team. But I like the idea more so that Laurel could go the Lex Luthor route and go the villain side of things.
Yeah. So here's this is a great scene with Thea and Ollie. I think I constantly say that I really enjoy Thea and Ollie things, but this idea that she says straight out, he was doing it to push me away, which clearly worked. I just love that she knows she's not stupid. She gets it. And then you really get, because next week, I mean, spoilers for next week, but it's a Thea episode, right?
Well, I don't think it's really spoilers, because the last scene of this episode is her getting kidnapped.
Yeah,
right?
And so that
she doesn't know she's being kidnapped, but that's what's happening. We know.
Yeah. So it's a thing, which is, I don't know, it really reminds you, right? Because she hasn't been on the show for like 4 weeks or something.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, right, Thea, you're a character I really care about constantly. And I forget that I do. And this lovely guilt moment, you're the only one that doesn't lie to me, Ollie. You just gotta love that, because you know it's going to come back to,
Well, and I think sooner rather than later,
yeah,
I think they're setting this up, because this
really
is
are.
What Slade's going to do.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's really important to remember that that's mm-hmm. how she feels.
Yeah.
So when, and I'm sure we'll get a reminder in the next episode. So
yeah.
when Slade reveals to Thea
that it's because,
A,
yeah.
that she's Merlin's daughter,
yeah, yeah.
and B, that Oliver is the Arrow,
yeah, yeah.
and C, that as far as anybody knows, Oliver killed Merlin, right?
Right,
like,
right,
like,
right.
Yeah. Malcolm Merlin's dead
right.
to the world, other
right.
than other than to Oliver, Sarah, and
right.
and Moira.
Right.
I guess the rest of the Arrow team. But
this is a great shot with the three of them. There's no
or wait
there's
does
no
does
here.
Oliver
no,
know that
Ollie,
Malcolm's
no
dead?
Ollie doesn't
he
know.
Doesn't know. Moira's
no.
the only one who
Moira's
knows.
The only one who knows. This is a great moment, and you have
he
Roy
crushes
the
bracelet.
The bracelet.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so. He's just, it's that one hand that he
I just love how, like, the direction is that he's not in control of this strength that he has.
Yeah.
And that's the most important part, is that he has all this power,
yeah.
but he can't control it.
Yeah.
Whereas we
yeah.
see Slade here,
yeah.
Slade has all the power as well, but he's in total control.
Yeah. And it's, and there we have it.
That's the episode.
And then Thea is, please call me Slade. Or whatever it is that he says in that ending.
Yeah.
Off
and here we've got
Wednesday.
The preview for next week. We've got Blood coming back.
Yeah, which is interesting.
And Slade putting yeah. on the Deathstroke mask.
The episode's called Deathstroke, yeah?
I am not sure what next week's episode is.
I'm pretty sure it is, because I went through the IMDb right before. And
yeah.
then we have, did Slade just get shot in the last little bit of that preview for next week?
It looks like he gets shot with an arrow through the chest.
Yeah, it sure does.
And
so
more than likely pulls the arrow out and stands up.
Yeah, and is that
because
like,
as we know, we can
we
take
know,
one to the eye
and
keep
be
going.
Fine. And same with the idea of being able to get shot through your hand and
yeah.
be fine.
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
I think we'll be putting the Mirakuru to the test.
Right.
To see just how far they can push
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Which will be interesting in later seasons to see how far they can push it with Roy.
That's going to be actually really fascinating.
Yeah, next week called Deathstroke.
Yeah.
So there you go. Next week's episode
first.
Looking really, really good.
Yes.
I'm
excited. I mean, this week's episode was really good. I think they did a good job. I like it. I was really happy with
yeah.
all the things that happened. And yeah, it's a good season.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Yeah,
okay. You heard it here first. It's a good show.
I feel as though you should watch it. And you know what you should also do? You should listen to a podcast about it, because you clearly can't get enough of it just watching it. So it's good.
I think this is really the wrong point in the episode to be telling people to listen. As a matter of fact, I think we're about done.
We are about done.
So this is the part
maybe
where
I'll
instead of
thank people for
yeah,
listening.
There you go.
And say how awesome all you Quiverheads are. So you
Arrowheads.
Well, they get to be Quiverheads as well, because they listen to Quiver. I did it on purpose.
That doesn't make any sense.
Quiver.
They're Arrowheads because they're
Arrow fans.
In the Quiver.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Whatever. You Arrowhead Quiver listeners, I guess. Whatever. I'm going to stop now. But anyways, I want to thank you all and say what an awesome community it is. Awesome conversations happening on our social media, which I really like. And our Facebook group is getting pretty big, which I kind of like. And
yeah.
it's also kind of scary, because it used to be, what, like 30 of us having conversations about
yeah.
Arrow? But now I feel as though we are like the place to talk about Arrow if you're
I hope
having
so.
A conversation. At least on the Book of Faces. I feel that maybe there's forums and stuff elsewhere.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. I don't know if there's a bigger Arrow Facebook
like
group, but
there's
active. Certainly not a better Arrow Facebook group. And that's not us tooting our own horn. That's you guys. Like, because we're not in there very often
yeah.
at all.
Yeah. Which is great.
But you guys are in there every day posting awesome stuff, having good conversations. Not just about Arrow, about
no, but
comic
about
books
other,
and
yeah,
genre
other,
in general.
Yeah, which
so
I really
cool.
like. It becomes a really good place to be
yeah.
and have conversations. So Yay.
But that does it for us this week. So thank you guys for listening. As always, you can find us on the internet at www.quiverpodcast.com. That is our website. You can send in your thoughts to our email, mail@quiverpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter.
At Quiver Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/quiverpodcast.
Basically, Quiver Podcast everywhere on your social medias.
Yeah.
That's good. We also have our personal social media. I use Twitter at akonkin, akonkin.
And I'm at Arkwulf, ARKWULF.
You use your Tumblr more than I do, too. You have Tumblr
as
well.
Yes, arkwulf.tumblr.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Plug for, if people are at all interested in stuff I'm doing, you can also check out Ben's vlog launched yesterday. So I have a web series that I put an episode out. If people were familiar with Blankverse, it's Ben Johnson, who was basically William Shakespeare's best friend. We've made her into an 18-year-old girl who has a vlog and is dealing with the death of her friend Chris Marlowe. It's really fun. I like it.
Is that spoilers for the first season?
Well, for the first season of Blankverse, yeah. Blankverse. But I mean, it's a historical event that happened 500 years ago. If you don't know that Chris Marlowe died in a bar, it's your fault.
Yeah, but when you guys decided to do it on Blankverse,
that's true. It did. That it's,
you're not. So, I'm sorry, but the historical accuracy of it, like. Of your weird, like, melding of modern university culture.
It's an AU. It's, what is it? It's Elizabethan AU is someone that somebody else said.
Okay, is that the genre?
It's like alternate universe Elizabethan, which is really, it's really.
So, I don't think that it's entirely historically accurate.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't recall reading in any history books about them, you know.
Yeah. Getting high.
I don't, like, running through hallways in black clothes while they go to. I don't remember what they were doing that episode.
It was a heist episode. Anyways, if you're interested in watching that, it's on YouTube for free. Blankverse TV is you just search Blankverse TV and you'll find Ben Johnson's vlog. And it's fun. There's like original songs in it and I'm really excited about it and it's a good group of people working on it, so.
Cool.
That's that, and that's where my brain's been for the last little bit, so.
Cool. As you guys might have noticed, I posted a couple days ago that I'm starting up a new monthly podcast with Curtis, who was on, I think, episode 12 of this season with us as a guest host. And we're going to be talking about comics. So all of you Quiver listeners that want to hear what I have to say about a comic like Green Arrow Year One, this is your opportunity. Because what we do is I pick a graphic novel or trade paperback, and Curtis picks one. And then our listeners pick one. So we call it the reader poll. So that's the one that you guys can suggest. So all you have to do is email thepullboxpodcast@gmail.com and let us know. You need to include a paragraph. It's really important that you tell us why we should be reading the comic of your choice. And it needs to be a collected edition. So it needs to be like a trade paperback or a graphic novel, not a single issue.
Nice.
So that's the latest that I'm up to. And, you know, CloneWarsPodcast.com, RebelsPodcast.com, and all that other stuff that I do. But you guys already know that. So that is it for us this week, though. So thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next week for Deathstroke.
Stay sharp, Rowans. What? Oh, cool. was the bad guy in season 3 of 24?
No, I wouldn't know that. I've never watched 24.
Neither have I, but maybe I'll have to watch it.
Oh, man, I'm so tired.
Yeah, let's just record and then I'll go home.
Okay. Well, we gotta wait for your tea.
Oh, right. Sorry.
So talk about whatever. I don't even care. People want me to talk about True Detective, but I don't know how I can talk this. So, because obviously this has to be the tag. If you talk about True Detective? Yeah, well.
But I don't know anything. You're going to like ruin it for me.
I'm not going to ruin it for you. You're never going to watch it. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself for one second. You're never going to watch True Detective.
Are you the one that was getting really angry at me because of my, like...
I do, but you're never going to watch True Detective. And even if you do, I guarantee you get 15 minutes into the first episode and go, why am I watching this? I guarantee it. It's fantastic. Oh, it's the best show on TV.
You contradict yourself a lot in the past.
I'm not contradicting anything. I think that you should watch all sorts of TV shows. But at this point, I know you're not going to watch True Detective.
At this point? What, we've been friends for over a decade, and in the past 3 weeks, you've finally given up on me as, like, a television
show? No,
watcher.
I just know that, like, if I can't get you to check out Breaking Bad,
Have you? Eventually, you're going to.
Well, you're not going to get to True Detective, because by the time you get through everything else, True Detective's going to not be the thing anybody's talking about anymore, and you're going to be watching Downton Abbey or something like that.
I know, I still need to catch up on that. Dude, this Brian dude has 46 comments on his thing about Iron Man, which is really interesting.
What?
Oh, this was about disability in Iron Man. Oh, that was really interesting. And he called you Chris. I thought that was funny.
You called me Chris?
Yeah. He said, in the most recent podcast, Chris and Amanda talked about Iron Man 3.
Why would he call me Chris?
I don't know, because you have a generic name, and...
You have a generic name.
I guess so. Oh no, Michael's more generic than Amanda.
Sure, but Amanda's pretty generic.
It is. I don't know, he could be talking about, like, someone that wanted to talk about Iron Man 3 in a different regard. Or he just auto-corrected to Chris. Who knows? Who knows? Anyways, I found it amusing. But he brought up, like, it's a really interesting conversation that people are having. Like, this group is so awesome. Like, it does have the potential to get, like, I am getting a little bit scared. I did not realize there's what, like, 450 people, almost 500 people in the freaking group?
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but there's only, like, 50 that actually talk.
Yeah, but it's really, really, really entertaining, what people are talking about, and they're talking about it in, like, a really informed way, which I really like, and having just, like, really interesting conversations.
I don't have time to read what they're talking about anymore. I don't remember the last time I really went through there. I'll jump into a thread every now and then, but I just don't have time.
Well, I'll just read them. I'll like a couple posts here and there. It's good.
My printer's out of ink, so I can't print the email. I'll have to read it off my Surface. Which I guess would be the more environmentally friendly.
It would. Yeah, I don't know why we print those out all the time.
It's easier to have a piece of paper in front of you.
Happy Tuesday, y'all. That's what somebody wrote near Columbus.
Thanks for sharing.
Sorry, I'm reading the group. Happy Tuesday, y'all.
Your water boiled.
Okay, I'm gonna go get my water. Do people actually say y'all? Because that would be awesome.
Sure.
Like,
I mean,
in everyday conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't think anybody in Vancouver says it without being ironic, but...
Is ironic the right word?
Yeah, if somebody in Vancouver says y'all, they're either one of those people who thinks that they're a cowboy because they live in Maple Ridge, or they're a hipster being ironic. In either case, it's unacceptable.
Oh, Maple Ridge. There's too many marshmallows in this hot chocolate.
That's the dumbest complaint I've ever heard in my life. There's too many marshmallows in this hot chocolate.
Like, I mean, I was going to just pour it out, and then it was just the little, like, marshmallows, and I want some of the, like, other marshmallows, like, not these, like, freeze-dried ones that are in the mix.
Sorry, are you Are you Christopher Walken now? There's too many marshmallows.
Did I say it
weird? You said it weird. You said it like Christopher Walken.
What? Oh, that's gross.
Why is that gross?
I dislike Christopher Walken.
You're a bad person. You're a bad person.
I'm allowed to dislike or like whatever I want, Michael.
Yeah, you are, but Christopher Walken's not one of the things you're allowed to dislike.
Seriously, though?
Yeah, Christopher Walken's one of the greatest freaking actors to grace this planet.
Why?
Why? Because he's interesting. He's a fascinating person. He makes unique choices that are motivated, and he's a fascinating guy.
Alright.
Watch the movie Seven Psychopaths. I know you're not going to, but if you watched the movie Seven Psychopaths, you would see that he's a phenomenal actor.
Maybe? I'm allowed to... No, see, the thing is that, like, I just dislike things that he's in, so why would I like him as an actor? I don't know. It's one of those things.
I guarantee you I can name one movie that you like that he's in.
Probably. It's probably the one where I was like, ugh, why is Christopher Walken in this movie? He's ruining it.
No, he's the best part of this movie.
Which movie?
Blast from the Past.
Oh, okay.
With Brendan Fraser.
Is he the best part of that movie?
No, don't put your tea on that table.
I'm not putting my tea on
every week.
No,
every week.
A little bit, though, and then I move it because I realize.
No, that's not tea. It's hot chocolate.
It is hot chocolate. I like this mug, though. Why does marshmallows, they
Disney
just, like,
store.
They melt when they're in hot chocolate?
Yeah, because it's hot chocolate, and they're pretty much just sugar.
But I want to eat them as marshmallows. This is, like, really sad. I'm so tired.
How can you be tired? Isn't your mom here to clean your house for you?
Oh my god, I've done so much cleaning today. It's insane. I reorganized all of my costumes. It's amazing. I have a full bin that has, like, the full costumes in them. I didn't realize how many freaking costumes I have. It's pretty good. We took out, it must have been, like, 5 giant things of garbage plus, like, 4 recyclings and got rid of, like, a foamy in my house. My apartment building's pretty gross. But I feel better now and a little cleaner.
The building itself is pretty gross?
Yeah.
Yeah. I could have told
it's
you that.
It's super old.
Yeah.
And they were like, there was like a mouse living on my patio. It was gross. And so the guy's like, so I called my landlord and he's like, if it's not in the apartment, it's fine. I was like, but it's on my patio. Like, how is that not a problem? He's like, just use it like a spray bottle of bleach and it'll get rid of all the mice. I was like, all right, well, whatever. So now my house smells like bleach. But it's better. It's good. I've lived there for a really long time, I started to realize, actually. I'm less transient than I used to be. It's like almost this is my real life. Isn't that weird?
It's like almost this is your real life.
Mm-hmm. But, like, you know what I meant.
I'm not sure that I do, but okay. What else would it be?
I don't know. The transitional period between things.
Again, you're not really making a clear case. You better do better than this on Tuesday.
On Tuesday. Oh, yeah, the debate. I should probably be working on that a little bit more than I am.
God,
I'm sorry.
We're going to lose.
Why?
We're going to lose.
Why?
Because we're not prepared. We're not prepared to have an argument with somebody.
I'm always prepared to argue with somebody.
Yeah, but you're not prepared to argue eloquently or intelligently about John Carter, because I don't think that you have the
knowledge.
I don't think that you have the facts at your disposal to make a proper argument.
You know what you could do, Michael? You could write those facts down for me.
They're written down already. It's called barsoom.wikia.com.
Oh, well,
I told you guys.
Dude, I'll just
the first email that I sent.
I'll just read that and I'm good to go.
You should be reading it already.
Oh, I think that Courtney gave me the Aquaman one now, which is going to be complicated because I don't know a ton about Aquaman. Is there a wiki for Aquaman?
We're not going to lose. DCComics.wikia.com.
Okay.
If you can think of something, okay? BackToTheFuture.wikia.com. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.wikia.com.
CoffeePrince.wikia.com.
I'm sure that, like, anything, okay. There's a wiki for it. Because that's how our world works. These things that you request, like, why isn't somebody just aggregated all of our common knowledge about comic books in one place? They have. It's called the internet. And all you have to do is use this fancy thing called Google.
Don't worry, we'll be fine, dude. I mean...
No, we're gonna lose. How many friends are you bringing?
I don't know. A couple. I actually didn't realize Julia can't come. So hopefully, some people.
So, like two people, maybe?
Five.
Two people?
Like, maybe not including
Andrew and his girlfriend, who will already be there?
No, Julia, that's what I mean. Julia can't come. Andrew's girlfriend's not coming. Yeah. But,
okay,
like, so Andrew. And I think we can get Ryan to come, and Aaron, and maybe some other people who came last time. There's, like, a few people last time. Yep. I'll see.
We're not gonna win, because they're gonna have more cohesive arguments, because they have this, they do have the more fleshed out character.
Mm-hmm.
Although John Carter's been around for 100 years, there's only of these 11 books, and there's really only about 4 of them that he's a character in, that he's a main character in. And he's not a very fleshed out character. He's really not. The books don't paint him as anything other than a swashbuckling hero. Like, he's mm-hmm. he's the template by which all other characters are built.
Mm-hmm.
But John Carter himself, if you strip that away from him, if I love it, but I think that's because I put a lot of stuff onto it, right? Like, I add a lot of character to John Carter when I'm reading it. Because he's such a template, so I add a little bit of like the Han Solo type thing, and I add a little bit of the like Errol Flynn type hero, but he's really, like, on the page, he's not that interesting, I don't think. Right.
But is he a great superhero?
Yeah. He's awesome. I mean, like, he's his stories are epic beyond the scope of the majority of superheroes these days, because it seems like everything else is, like, focused back in, and it's all personal stories.
Right.
And he doesn't have any personal stories. It's like, in the movie, they add in the whole thing about his family from Earth, right? Like, that's not a thing in the books. That never comes up. He didn't have a family before. They weren't attacked by Apache or whatever, and he didn't bury them with his own hands, right? Like, that's something they added in the movie so that you could be like, oh, I really feel for this guy.
Yeah.
He's really going through something here, and then he has an arc. Because otherwise, it's just like, I was really good at fighting on Earth, but then I decided to stop fighting and go, you know, look for gold, and then I found this cave with gold, and then I was paralyzed and ended up on Mars. So I decided that I would punch things there. I like to fight. Like, it's literally there in every book, he goes out of his way to make sure that people understand that there is nothing in the world he loves more than a good fight, right? And, like, I find that fascinating for a character, because there aren't any characters nowadays, except for anti-heroes, who are like, I'm a badass, and I wear a leather jacket and ride a motorcycle, and I'm spoiling for a good fight. And it's like, it's more interesting than that, because he's noble about it, right?
Right, yeah.
Like, he's a knight, right? Like, he's just kind of wandering around looking for a cause to fight for.
What are we going to wear in our costumes? Did we figure that out yet?
No, we're not going to wear costumes. It's one of our arguments.
That there's just nothing
that
to
there's
wear.
No, like, what could we wear?
Yeah.
Like, if we wore costumes, you'd have no idea who we
were. I'll wear some white fur, maybe.
Yeah, you can, but, like, nobody's gonna know. Like, you're the only one who's gonna know what that means.
Yeah. I'm a Jedi!
It's very disrespectful if you were to wear white fur, actually.
Why?
Because you're not a Jedi.
Oh, God.
So, just saying.
Just saying.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably one of our stronger argument points, is that, like, I'm really hoping that they show up with, like, ridiculous flamboyant Aquaman costumes, and I can be like, oh, check it out, we got Lady Aquaman, because it's all three girls,
yeah,
right? So, like, Lady Aquaman, we got a Lady Aqualad, and Amara. Wow, I could name all three of your characters. We would have dressed up, but you'd have no idea who we were, so we figured it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
but everybody in the audience will know who their characters are because they're from cartoon shows and comic books that people have actually read. Okay. It is the 17th episode.
Yeah, it's yours this time. Yeah. Under my skin.
Let me just check this. Okay, we're good.